We're up to Perek of Zayin, Pasik Hey. Perek of Zayin, Pasik Hey, O Yachazek Bimo Uzi. So here in these psukim, we are discussing in Acher Sayamim, and we have mentioned that in Los Lovo, it's hard for us to imagine the entire world will sing, they'll say, oh, the Jews, there's no one like the Jews, they are exceptional, they are the best. Anula, they will sing a song, and they will say about the Jewish people, they are like a vineyard that produces the best wine. And then Hashem says, let's look back at history. Let's study history. Did I ever really bring upon you harm? Did I really punish you? Hashem says, I was never fully angry at my people, Klal Yisrael, because if I was, I would have completely obliterated them off the face of the earth. And the fact that you're still here to talk about it goes to show that I was never truly, fully angry at my people. Pasuke says, O Yachazek Bimu'uzi. Now, O literally means or. But in this context, O means if, like in. You have that, it's not so uncommon. The word O is translated to mean if. And Yachazek means to take hold. Bimu'uzi, my stronghold. It's interpreted to mean my Torah. Hashem is telling Klal Yisrael, if only you would take hold of Torah, you would learn Torah, you would support Torah, you would be machshiv Torah, then Ya'aseh Shalom Li, you would make peace with me, Shalom Ya'aseh Li, the pasuk repeats the theme twice, peace you would make with me. Hashem is telling us, let me tell you the secret. It's interesting, this pasuk is speaking Acher Sayyavim, so it's already, everything already is over, but we have the benefit that this pasuk was told to us Derech Nevuah, so we know the secret. So we can make use of this throughout time until Acher Sayamim. And Hashem is telling us that if I do get angry at you, it's very simple. You can put an end to the anger by just taking hold of my might, taking hold of Torah. If you learn Torah, you study Torah, you machzik Torah, you machshiv Torah, that will be the ultimate peace between me and you, and there will no longer be any anger or chema. So again, O means if. If only Yachazek Bimu'uzi, you will take hold of my stronghold. My stronghold is the Torah. Ya'aseh Shalom Li, Shalom Ya'aseh Li. Peace you will make to me. Peace you will make to me. Pasuk Vav is the beginning of the Haftarah of Parashas
Shemos.
Correct.
What is
what? It's very difficult. That's the answer.
Is it
yeah.
Anger is it.
Well, it's a continuation of Pasuk Dalet. It's very difficult. These psukim, the flow of the connection between all of the psukim is very hard. It's difficult. It appears that every pasuk is isolated. It's independent.
I mean, it sounds like there are so many ways to figure what the tone is. Is it frustration?
I don't know. I don't really know. What is? Let's look at the Mitzudos. Pasuk Hey in the Mitzudos. O Yachz Muzi Rotzalema. O Hayisi Sarfa Kaachas. O Hoya Kol Echot Shav Midarko Leechos Bim Uzi. It's a continuation of the previous pasuk. The previous pasuk says that I would have destroyed you. I could have destroyed you, but if you would take hold of my Torah, then that will put an end to the anger. Okay, I don't know. You just learn the psukim separately. You have pasuk Ches Hashem. I was never really angry, and the proof is, if I was angry, I could have clearly destroyed you. And I want to let you know also that the only thing you really need to do to put an end to my anger is to take hold of the Torah. Again, this is speaking after the fact. It's already now seemingly Yeshayahu is speaking at the time of Yemos HaMashiach. It's a nevuah, but because he's telling this to us in advance, he's giving us the tools how to deal with Charoin Af during the time of Galus. Okay, Pasuk Va. Pasuk Va begins appear seemingly a new theme. It's only one pasuk left in this parasha before the end of the parasha, the Samach. But it's the first pasuk of Shemos, and it fits very well into Shemos because it makes mention of Paro, it makes mention of Mitzrayim. Well, we'll see the blossoming of Uvnei Yisrael Paru by Yishritzu Vayarbu B'mod Mo. They multiplied very much in Mitzrayim. Haboim Yashreish Yaakov. Now we're going to learn according to the Mitzudos first. And the mitzvah says you have to add a word into this pasuk, and that's very common in the upcoming psukim that we are going to learn. You have to add a lot of words in order to make sense of the pasuk. The psukim are written in short form, and that's the way the Nevi'im spoke, at least Yeshaya's style of speech. Every Navi has a different style to learn. In Yecheskel, his style is completely different than Yeshaya. Yirmiyah is much simpler. Yirmiyah really is a continuation of Sefer Melachim. It's much simpler. And in the Treyaser, each one is different. Each one has their own unique style. But here, Yeshaya is very mekatzer, and the Mitzudos tells us, add a word into this pasuk, techsa milas bayomim. The word bayomim is missing in this pasuk, and therefore read the pasuk bayomim. And those bayomim haboim. So it's two words together. Bayomim, the invisible word. Bayomim haboim, in the days that are coming. This refers to the future, according to the Mitzudos. In the future time, Yashresh Yaakov. Yaakov's descendants, Klal Yisrael, will take root. They will take root in the land. Yotzitz uforach Yisrael, and Yisrael will bud and blossom. Two different expressions of blossoming and budding of fruits and flowers. Umalup tnei sevel tinuva, and the entire earth, referring to Eretz Yisrael, will be filled with vegetation. Tinuva means, it means tzimche hasada, vegetation. It means grass and things which grow on the field, fruit and vegetables. And here also the Mitzvah says it's umalu fnei sevel. You have to eat a chaf. Kit nuva. They will be so numerous. There will be so many people living in the Eretz Yisrael. It will be like they are the blades, or they will be like blades of grass living in the land. So this, according to the Mitzudos, is a prediction of what will happen in the end of days. We see it today. Eretz Yisrael today, how many Jews live in Eretz Yisrael? 7 million, I think I heard. Something like that. So like 7 million Jews live in Eretz Yisrael? No?
I think that's the total population.
With the Arabs? Okay, I don't know. If I take it back, I don't know. Okay, so we have over here Parashat Molu Fnei Sevel Tinuva Kitnuva. So there are two very critical omissions which you need to add in order to make sense. Bayomim Haboim, in the days that are yet to come, Yaakov will take root and will blossom. Notice the two different words. It's Yaakov, and then we shift to Yisrael. Yaakov refers to Yaakov in the times of Golus, the name of Christ in the times of Golus. And Yisrael is a reference to Klal Yisrael in the times of Geula, redemption. So it appears to be saying that the process of Moshiach will begin in Golus, because they will take root. They will take root in the land when they are still in the Matzav of Yaakov. And they will fully blossom and develop when they are in the state of Yisrael. Two different words together. You know, using davening at the end of that, before we go to Yisrael, Shacharis, we say Yisrael 5 times. Sur Yisrael, Kuma be Ezras Yisrael, Uftech in the Mech Yehuda of Yisrael, Golena Hashem, Tzavakos Shemok, Yisrael. 5 times, that piyut. Those last three lines, Sur Yisrael, 5 times we mention Yisrael. They say it's connected to Chamishachim Shetara, the Chashivus of Yisrael, the Raisu, Chashivuch, Chadu. In Ma'ariv, you don't say Yisrael. And Marv, look carefully, you mentioned Ruba Deruba before Shemona Esra Yaakov. Because the nighttime, Arvis, represents times of Golos. Then you focus on Yaakov. In the morning, it's daylight, it's a reference to Geula, you focus on Yisrael, a name of Klaishol in the good times. Here you see both them together. The taking root is B'shas Yaakov, but the blossoming is during the time of Yisrael. And again, we add that Chof Hadinyan before Tenuva. Doesn't mean Chas V'Shom, that the Jewish people are grass. It means they'll be numerous like the grass. They'll fill the earth, Ki Tenuva. Okay, Pasuk Zayin. Hakim Akas Ma'keu Hikon. This is a very powerful Pasuk. Very powerful. And this goes back to the theme of the previous Pasuk, Pasuk Dalit. Hashem says, I will prove to you that I was never fully angry at you for your sins, because I never destroyed you. Look at the contrast, the difference between you, Klal Yisrael. You have sinned terribly, Takadosh Baruch Hu, the Egel, the Meraglim, so on and so forth. Avodah Zarah, the Sefer Melachim, is just full of Avodah Zarah and terrible things that were happening at that time. And look at your enemies. Look at Mitzrayim. Look at Ashur. Look at Bavel. Look at all the nations of the world that have tried desperately to destroy you. What has become of them? Nothing. They no longer exist. Ancient Babel doesn't exist. Mitzrayim doesn't exist. The ancient Egypt doesn't exist. Ashur doesn't exist. All of the nations that tried to bring harm upon you, they no longer exist. But you, Klal Yisrael, despite all of your sins, you're still here. You're thriving. You're good and well. That goes to show. That says it all. And that's the theme of this pasuk. Hakimakas makeu yiko. Did I hit you like the way I hit those who hit you? Question mark. Im kehereg harugav harog. Did I bring death upon you the same way I brought death upon those who tried to bring death upon you? Okay, it's a little complex form. Let's look at the Mitzvah's Pasuk Zion. Hakim akas. What's the loymar? Af meyal shehikabo. Even though in the past I have hit you. V'chi hikabo beachzoris. Did I, Hashem, did I go and hit you with cruelty? Like I punished the Mitzrim, Shehuku es Yisrael, that injured, that brought punishment, that hit Klal Yisrael. So that's the part of the Hakimakas Makeu. Did I do to you? So you have to, let's read the first one and the third word. Hakimakas hikohu. Did I hit you like makeu, the same way I hit those who hit you? And the same thing was expressed in the next pasuk, im kehereg. Like, read the first and the third word together. Kehereg horog. Did I kill you like harugov, like I killed those who killed you? No. Those who tried to kill you and did kill you, I wiped off the face of the earth. But you are still here to talk about it. Pasuk Ches, Bis'asa. Now this pasuk can be interpreted in different ways. And by the way, when just going back to pasuk before, I read you the pasuk according to the Mitzvah, which refers pasuk, at least pasuk Vav Haboim Yashresh Yaakov, which means by Yomim Haboim refers to Yimos HaMoshiach. However, Rashi, and this really fits with why we read this as the Haftorah, says it refers back to the time of Yeridas Mitzrayim, the time when Yaakov Avinu's children, the 70 children, they came to Mitzrayim. Just look in Rashi very quickly. It's very, very difficult Rashi. The Rashi says, in Pasik Vav, Haboim Yashresh Yaakov, Halo Yodatem Mo Osisi B'Rishoyna Haboim L'Mitzrayim. So according to Rashi, we don't add in this invisible word of Bayomim Haboim. It refers to the past. And over here, Yeshayi is describing about our past history of what happened. Klal Yisrael, they came to Egypt, and Mitzrayim was evil, they caused them harm. And the next sukkim pasuk, from pasuk Ches all the way to the end of this, all the way until two pasuk Yibbeis, is a reference to Mitzrayim, not necessarily a reference to reference to Klal Yisrael. It's different. There are different ways to interpret it. According to Rashi and those other mafarshim, not the way we're going to learn, it fits very well into why we lay this as the haftar of Parashat Shemos, because the haftar of Parashat Shemos is when Bnei Yisrael entered Mitzrayim and they multiplied, and the Egyptians enslaved us and did terrible things, and Hashem punished the Egyptians. And that's exactly what Rashi ties to the first pasuk, Haboim Yashresh Yaakov. Remember what happened when your ancestors came to Mitzrayim, and when you were there, Yashresh Yaakov, you took root there in Yotzu Parach Yisrael, and there when you in Mitzrayim, you blasted him, Uvnei Yisrael Paru Vayishisu Vayibu Vayatsu Vimod Mod Vatimol Eretz Osam. Remember that. You fill the earth. Which earth? The earth of Egypt. Egypt was filled with the Jewish people like Kitnuva. And now the Pesukim go on, according to Rashi, and describe the events that happened in Mitzrayim and what Hashem did to Mitzrayim. Perfect. It's a perfect shidduch for Parshas Shemos that describes exactly that episode. But that approach is very difficult. You could read fit all those ideas of the pasuk. It's very difficult. So we're going to learn very similar according to the Mitzvah, which basically has nothing to do with what happened in ancient times. Has to do with what's going to happen in Yimos HaMashiach. Yeah.
It's not necessarily a conflict, because
It's a parallel. It's a template.
Of
right.
Is the
exactly right? Right. Okay. 100%. Right. 100%. Okay. But just according to Rashi, it's like, it really fits. But Rashi is very midrashic, and it's a little bit difficult. Let's see. I'm not totally going away from Rashi, but just we'll try to maybe do a little bit of both. Okay, pasuk ches. Pasuk ches is a very powerful word. Bisasa. Bisasa comes with sa, like the last three letters of the word samach ay aleph hey, which means a measure. And the word the hey is silent, so the samach aleph is repeated, which means sa, measure, which is an intensification of measure, just like you have yirakrak a nega coming up soon. Parshas Metzora. You have a nega that's yirakrak oy adamdam. Yirakrak means it's very green. Yarok. Adamdam means it's very red. Damdam. What? White red? White, okay. But it means it's intense. When you repeat the word twice, it's intense. So here is that's bisasa means intensity. It means it's exact. And according to the Mitzvot, according to Manu Mefarshim, this means that Kadosh Baruch Hu, this is the need of Kadosh Baruch Hu, Asher Zodu Alem Kadosh Baruch Hu, pays back, punishes and rewards a person, Nida Kineged Nida. The Egyptians, their primary sin was Kol Habein Hayilod, Hayo'ira Tashlichuhu, Mida Kineged Mida, they drowned in the Yamsaf. They were punished the same way, with the same technique that they brought upon, that they inflicted upon us. That's the Mida, and that was what Yisrael saw. That was the Yisrael was so impressed. Yisrael saw that Mida, Kineged Mida, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this is what inspired him to join Klal Yisrael. So here, that's what this pasuk is expressing, this Sasa. But according to the Mitzudos, we're going to learn the pasuk now, Hashem is complaining that the Jewish people throughout their long history have sinned. And when they have sinned, I punish them measure per measure. Whenever they sin, exactly how they sinned, I punish them in exact measure. But in this context, it means not more. Now, there's an expression, Nismala hasa'a. The measure is complete. That punishment comes, a person only gets exactly what he deserves, not a drop more. So here Hashem is saying, I punished you, measure for measure what you have done, but not more. And here the next two words, Bishalcha Trivena. But Hashem is saying, I was kind to you, I did not take your lives. Instead of taking your lives, as we learned before, I destroyed your property. Bishalcha means your produce, fruits, vegetables, produce of the earth. Tirivena, did I quarrel with you? Did I wage war against you? Instead of waging war against your souls and taking your lives, your children, I took your property, I brought upon your country, upon you, famine and poverty. Bishalcha means your vegetation. I mean, it's a reference to vegetables, which like it means to send forth. Shalach, to send. It means the fruits and vegetables, they send forth their roots and their branches throughout the land. Tirivena, did I fight? Did I quarrel with you and I punish you by taking away these things? Hoga means to turn away, to move away. Berucha, the fruits and vegetables, they turned away. They did not develop. Berucha hakosha, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew a strong wind. Biyom kadim, on the day of the east wind. Kadim means the east wind, and that's Shidafon. That's a very common thing mentioned in the Gemara in Tanakh, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends very strong blasts of wind, and that prevents the fields from producing produce. And that's what Hashem is telling us, that was the kapara for you instead of taking it all. Listen to the Pasuk, it's hard, Pasuk Ches in the Mitzudos, Bissasa, Ratzulaymar, Bemida Shechatu, exact measure that you have sinned, they have sinned. Bemida hahin, exactly that measure. Nifra mehem, they were punished. Velo her kochamoso, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not overdo it. Hashem did not know when a person gets angry, when a human being gets angry, and he lets out his fury, there's no holding back. He can punish even more than what a person deserves. That's human nature. Kadosh Baruch Hu is not a human being. Kadosh Baruch Hu only punished us what we deserve. B'shalcha tridena, next mitzudos. Kishahoye meir of ima, when Kadosh Baruch Hu quarreled, punished Klal Yisrael, lipara mimeno, to punish them, hayashrefech hamosu al hasados. Hashem let out his anger on the fields, the haginos, the gardens, l'shloach bohem shidofon, to send powerful winds, the arba and locust. V'loipoga b'nafshay stril, Hashem did not touch the lives, the souls of his people. That was a chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Haga, what does the word haga mean? Hesir, to remove, to turn away. It's an unusual word. The Mitzudos, he tells us, haga inyan hasara. The Rasha turns before the king. It's an unusual word, which means to turn away. The east wind is the strongest of the winds, and it is the most damaging to the fields. And that is how Kadosh Baruch Hu punished us. Okay, let's look at Rashi. Rashi says something a little bit different. Besasa ba'osamida. Okay, that is the same as the Mitzudos. I feel better. We quote Rashi second. Rashi is the Iker. Rashi is the Iker, and the Mitzudos is much later. Just in the, it's an Achron, but for the sake of simplicity, many times it's very common that we study the Mitzudos to get a very simple pshat in the pasuk, because Rashi in the Vim is very much leaning towards Agada and Medrash, and it's a bit more difficult. The language is also very makatsa, and it's a little bit difficult. But of course, Rashi is Rashi. Rashi is can't. I remember once listening to a shir from an official shachar. Official shachar. He did for Rabbi Eli Teilbaum, Zichron Levracha, many of the Dalal Daf tapes. So I think it was him. He said that he once asked Rav Pam, Zichron Levracha, when he prepares the shir, the Dalal Daf tape, he has a pshat in Rashi in Tosfos, and Rashi is very complicated. It's very difficult pshat in the Gemara, and Tosfos is very, very simple. So when he explains the daf on the tape, should he say Tosfos? Rapam told him no. Rapam says, even though Tosfos is glat, it's simple as can possibly be, and that's what you're aiming for. You're aiming to give over simple pshat in the Gemara. Rashi is the ikar. You always have to say over word Rashi. How Rashi learned pshat in the Gemara. That was his advice. He's one of the big magidim on the Dal Daf Shira. So interesting. I always feel guilty whenever you go and you skip over Rashi. You go to a Mitzudas. You go to a Radak. Rashi is the Iker, but in Navi.
That's also the official policy of Oxworld. Rabbi Shulman did some writing for them, and he had the same problem, and he said that Oxworld told him
Rashi is the Iker. You have to focus. It's true. Looking like the first pasuk to Bereishis. Well, also there's another issue. Targum. There's another issue. There's Rashi and Tosfos. Who came before Rashi? The Targumen. There are three primary Targum. There's Targum Onkelos, Targum Yonasan in New Zealand, Targum Yushalmi, which some, a lot of it is missing. I mean, today we have it, but in the classical Mikros Kedos, it wasn't there. So like for a classic example, Bereishis Bar Elokim. So as children, we always translate in the beginning. That's not what Rashi says. Rashi says Bereishis means, Bereishis doesn't mean in the beginning, it means after creation. I don't know exactly, look in Rashi, it's a very complicated translation according to Rashi, but the Targum is the one that translates Bereishis means in the beginning. Now, if you look in the art scroll, the stone edition, you'll see that they translate it like Rashi,
in the beginning of creation.
In the beginning of creation, yeah. Not in the beginning. In the beginning, creation already existed. There was a creation which we do not know about. And in the beginning of that creation, Hashem created the Shemayim Varis. But there was more before that. That's not the way we're taught as children. Mm-hmm. As children, we're taught in the Bereishis, in the beginning. It was the very, very first thing. Who says that? Targums. That's the Targum Unkelos. It's not Rashi. Rashi many times quotes a Targum. He disagrees with the Targum. He quotes Ayah's other source. Okay, that's the subject. Let's look over the Rashi. Rashi over here says, "B'sasa be'osami." The same thing. "B'shalcha tridena kisheshilcha Mitzrayim es Yisrael." So you see, Rashi over here is something entirely different. Rashi over here does not tie b'shalcha as a reference to vegetation. Right, he ties with shalach means literally b'shalach paras, someone to send out. When Egypt sent an Eretz Yisrael to Yivena, Hamida b'soshala, Hakadosh Baruch Hu punished them. I'm sorry, Hakadosh Baruch Hu punished Egypt. Hakadosh Baruch Hu punished Egypt for their sins. They had sinned against the Jewish people. Va'avodu v'inu yoyisim arba meyoshana. So Hakadosh Baruch Hu quarreled with who? Not with Klal Yisrael, with the Egypt. With Egypt and drowned them and punished them and brought upon them the Aser Makos. So you see a whole different approach to this pasuk Mikotza Lakotza, and of course, according to Rashi, it fits like a glove why this goes with Parashas after Parashas Shemos. Okay, let's go into pasuk, next pasuk. Pasuk Tes. Okay, these psukim, they don't flow, they don't fit in together very easily. It's very hard to put them together. Lachain, therefore. Bezos Yichupar Avon Yaakov. Over here, Hakadosh Baruch Hu is complaining. We're jumping now to complain against Klal Yisrael. They have sinned, and according to the Mitzvah, it's very simple. The previous pasuk says Hakadosh Baruch Hu, when Klal Yisrael sins, He does not take our lives; He takes our property. But if you want kapara, let me give you some good advice. Bezos, with this, it will be forgiven. Avon Yaakov, v'zekol pri, and this will be all of his fruit. It's a very difficult expression. It means your good deeds. When a person does a good deed, it's called good fruit. Good deeds, it's an expression. It's just a metaphor. That's like I have a tree. If a tree produces good fruit, you praise the tree. This is a wonderful tree. Look what this tree is capable of producing. Person has good children, you say you must be a good father, must be good parents. You're able to produce good children. So this will be, if you will do this fruit, you will do these good deeds, and again, the deeds are the fruit, then this will be your ultimate reward. I will forgive you for all of your sins. What do I want you to do? Hasir chataso. I want you to remove your sins. How do you remove your sins? Bisumo means to set. Kol avnei mizbech, all of the stones of the altars, the mizbeach, these altars that were meant for avodah zarah. They worship idols, right? We have the bamos, the whole Sefer Melachim, non-stop. The bamos, which were used for, they were used also for Kadosh Baruch Hu originally, but they were used also for Avodah Zarah. Avnei gir is limestone. Limestone, somehow, sid, gir, that's how they translate here. You can break it up into teeny little pieces. Rub it, when you break it, it turns into like dust or teeny little pebbles. I want you to take all of these altars that were used for worshipping of idols, I want you to demolish them and turn them into dust, just like pebbles of Avnei Gir limestone. Minupatzos, they should be smashed and obliterated. Lo yakumu asherim vachamonim, and no longer should there be any longer offerings to the Asherah. Asherah means certain type of trees which are worshipped time of Nevi'im, Avodah Zarah. V'chamonim means sun gods. Chamonim comes from the notion of chama. Ches mem is chama, sun. They would make idols in the form, in the image of the sun, and they would bow down to it, meaning they're bowing down to sun, bowing down to nature. These were two very common types of Avodah Zarah, the Asherah, certain types of trees, and the sun. So, and they made altars, and the altars were made from stones. Hashem is saying, listen, if you want me to forgive you, do some good deeds. Give me some fruit. And the good deeds will be, you'll take these altars, and you will demolish them, you'll turn them into Avnei Gir, and no longer will you continue to worship the Asherah and the sun, and you will be in good shape. Period. That's the way Rashi Mitzudos learns the pasuk, and that's also the way Rashi learns the pasuk. Pretty much. Okay. Then we go on to pasuk Yud. Ki ir bitzura badad noven. Now this is difficult. We're going to learn this according to the Mitzudos, and this pasuk refers to the enemy cities. We're discussing Yemos HaMashiach. We're discussing Golos, and we are living in fortified cities of the enemy. And when we will do tshuva and stop worshipping idols, Hashem will destroy the enemy. The mighty cities of Edom or Yishmael, or maybe this pasuk refers to the time of Chizkiyah, whatever, this, the Ashur, Ki'ir Bitsura, a fortified city that was once massive, and tshuva means strong, Badad will become empty. Like Eicha Yoshua Bodot. Eicha, how could it be that Yoshua, the city, sits in solitude all alone? It will become desolate. It will be all alone in the world. No one will be any her partner. Nove. Nove means its inhabitants. People that live there, Mishulach, will be cast forth, the Nezav, and be abandoned, Kamidbar, like the desert. Shun, the city will be a ghost town. These massive fortified cities of the enemy will turn into Shun there. Yira Egel, calves will pasture. In a civilized city, you go walk in Avenue J, you don't see cattle roaming around the streets. There are no animals because it just doesn't go like that. When you're in a civilized society, you know, it doesn't happen. If you see an animal, a cow walking down the street, a calf, it'll be on the news.
Two-legged.
Okay, two-legged maybe, but not four-legged. Shum yir egel, calves will pasture. If a shum and their yirbats, they will lie down. V'chila sifeha, and sifeha means its branches. Its branches will cease to exist. It will just... The beautiful branches which require nurturing and care will just disappear. That's what's going to happen to this massive fortified enemy city. It will happen in the merit of the Jewish people doing truth. So one more time, the pasuk. Here, this pasuk refers to the enemy, to the goyim. They enslave us. They torture us, and we are captives in their country, in these cities. This ear bitsura bodot will turn into nothing. Will become isolated. Will be empty. Will be completely empty of its inhabitants. And Nova, the dwelling places, people who used to live there, mishulach v'nezav, will be sent forth and abandoned. Kamidbar sham yira egel. The cities will be a ghost town. Animals will roam around. Sham yirbos will lie down. The animals and no will bother. V'chilas yifach, and the branches will cease to exist. One more pasuk yud aleph. Bivosh kitzira, when the harvest dries up, tishavarna, it will break. Now, what does that mean exactly? Let's look at the pasuk Gidal from the Mitzudos David. Kishe tisyavesh anofeha, when the branches dry up, they'll fall off the tree by themselves. Notice the trees will wither. It's a mashal. The country, the cities of the wicked will wither. And as they wither, they will collapse on it, so no one will have to come there to knock down the buildings. The buildings will mamela, just collapse, because there's no one there to care for them and to maintain them. When the branches dry up, tishaver me'atzma, rotzalomar. Now according to the Mitzudos, he says, kishetismales sosam yishavu me'aleim, when they finish their measure, after they've sinned, they accumulate enough sin. Hashem is patient with a wicked person. Doesn't punish him right away. He lets the sin accumulate, and then when the measure is full, it'll just be wiped out. And that's the Moshe Pasuk that is going, giving Bivosh Kitzireha Tishavarna, when the branches dry up on its own. And that's a reference that when the person is filled with sin, Tishavarna, the branch will just fall off the tree on its own and break. Next words, Noshim Ba'os Mi'iros osa. Nasha means women. And here it's a mashal, means weaklings. Women are weaker than men. In Tanakh, the women don't want to hear that today, but in Tanakh, there's gender discrimination. Not really, but in this context, yes. Women, they're different. Women are weaker than men. And this city that only thus far would have been conquered by a mighty, powerful nation will now be so weak, even the weakest nation will be able to enter and conquer and destroy it. Noshim, weaklings, bows will come, mi'iros osa, and will destroy it. Lashna, fire, will set it ablaze. Kiloy ambinos hu, because you are not. Now this is a reference, this is a kamke, who referring to, who is the nation that's not binos? This refers, according to the Mitzvah, this refers to the wicked. The wicked nations of the world, you're not a nation of understanding. You don't realize that the reason for your success is because Hashem was kind to you. And now that you have sinned, you're no longer deserving of this success. Al kein, therefore, lo yirachamenu, or say your creator will no longer have compassion upon you at this point in time. The yotro, your creator, lo yichunenu, will no longer show you grace. Let's look at the Mitzudos David. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Dibur Hamas, Kulo ki ambinos hu, lohavin, shekol memshalto bolo me Hashem. That this wicked nation, you don't understand, you don't realize that your success, the reason why you've been able to be powerful and successful thus far is because it's a gift of Hashem. It's not your own doing. V'loy b'koyach zeroho, and now that your measure is full, you have sinned, and your measure is full, you're no longer deserving of success, you will wither and dry up and collapse. That is the way the Mitzvah learns this pasuk. If you look, though, in Rashi, Rashi seems to say, let's see, v'kila, bivosh kitzira kitzir shu ha-shaha, noshim bos, am cholosh k'noshim yalikeim, kach targim yanisan, miros k'mo v'lo te'iru, mizif chichinam, then we have dunash, another interpretation, avom nachim posar, mulukotos k'mo, okay, v'chein rabosenu sh'osru l'kabu mehem tztaka b'nei atam azeh shamu v'basra. Okay, now something else. Okay, so let's leave with that until the other. Maybe you're a midrash and I'm calling, but let's learn very similar. This pasuk refers to, Yud Aleph refers to the nations of the world. They are the ones that are not of understanding.
What is it saying in
Rashi? That's a medrash. The medrash over here is, the medrash refers to Ifra Hormuz. Ifra Hurma is the Persian writer. So Gemara Baba Basra talks about where they wanted to give the Persians, wanted to Beis Hamidrash to give tzedakah, and they did not want, because they did not want to give them s'chusim, because if they will have s'chusim, then their branches will be moist, will be full of lachluchas, moisture, and they will not collapse. So he wanted them bivosh kitzira. I forgot who the Amora there was. One of the Amoraim there did not want to take money. He wanted to fulfill this pasuk, bivosh kitzira tishavar. He wanted the branch to dry up and break. And if he, that's how he explained why he refused to take from them tzedakah. Because if you will take from them tzedakah, then their branch will not dry up. There is lachluchas, there is chiyus, there is life. Tzedakah, chesed. And then they're not going to break. And if they're not going to break, they will continue to bring upon us suffering. So that's why he refused to accept from them tzedakah, to in order to make it come about, bivosh kitzira tishavarna. Others disagreed, and they did take tzedakah and they gave it to the aniyim, the non-Jewish aniyim. But this is a very delicate balance of when you do take tzedakah from a non-Jew, and you don't. The Gemara talks about it, that to build the base of the itself, you're not going to take tzedakah from a goy, because you don't want the goy to have to come and to brag, look, I built this building. But for maintenance, once the building already has been built, and his name is not on the building, and he's just coming to pay the bills, and that money comes and goes, and though that the idea of the Gemara says we do take donations from non-Jews. But when a non-Jew gives a donation, so it's a s'chus to them. Do we want them to have s'chusim? So it depends. It depends on their general relationship with the Jewish people. If generally we're better off without them, they're bringing upon us churbin, and now we want to give them s'chusim also, that's not a good shidduch. But if they're but if you have nations of the world which are good, they're good, so they're good to us, they're not causing us any harm, adraba, they're letting us the malchus shel chesed, so good, give them s'chusim, they also want to live, they also want to have s'chusim, they should have a good life, and if they'll have a good life, they'll continue to make it easy for us. So it all depends. It's a tough call, and every situation is different. This is a very big issue of where you take money from for different organizations, different approaches, you know.
Isn't there a difference between individuals and governments?
Yeah. There is. I mean, it's. I don't know. I don't know the issues, but all I know is that there are different opinions. It's very complicated, and not everyone agrees. Different organizations have different approaches to fundraising. Lubavitch has a certain mahalach. They do things. Not everyone follows that approach. I mean, everyone, whatever. Okay, so we'll stop here. We're up to Pasuk Yud Aleph. We'll leave that for tomorrow.